Hello again and welcome back to the Inside Pass, News24's dedicated Rugby World Cup podcast. My name is Lloyd Bernard and joining me in our Cape Town studios once again is Herman Mostert. Morning, Herman.
Good morning, Lloyd. Good to be here.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good, good, good. Well, we're heading into another round of Rugby World Cup fixtures. Round two of match day fixtures started last night and we were so close to seeing what would have been an upset for the ages. I suppose the scoreline doesn't reflect it. France, the host nation, beating Uruguay 27-12. But at one point, with about 25 minutes to play, Uruguay got it back to 13-12. And at that moment, you just thought to yourself, oof, we could be on for something special here. Very, very nice results, I guess, Herman, going into the weekend where we see a lot of potentially mismatched fixtures with some powerhouse nations playing against some minnows. And a result like this, probably just what the tournament needed heading into a weekend like that.
Yeah, look, it's a result that maybe could give some of the other minnow teams hope getting into the weekend, that they could cause, obviously not an upset because they didn't win, but you know, there's hope that they could maybe cause an upset like that, you know. Quite a surprising result. No one expected them to run France that close, but obviously it was a French, it wasn't the French first string team. It wasn't the same side that beat the All Blacks the previous week, but still, it's, you know, it's the French Rugby World Cup squad, and you didn't expect them to struggle that much. I mean, they didn't even score a bonus point try, a four try bonus point. So if you said beforehand that France, the French weren't even going to get a bonus point, then no one would have believed you.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I mean, it almost scuppered France's whole group stage plans. You know, they put everything into beating the All Blacks last weekend, and if they went and lost this match, then it would have really not been what the doctor ordered for them.
Shame. I mean, when Uruguay got it back to 13-12, I don't know if you saw that try immediately after they scored their second try, and the fly half. Well, I don't even think it was a charge down. I think he kicked it into his own player.
Yeah,
and it came off him, but France just, you know, scored the easiest of tries at a moment where just a few more minutes of Uruguay kind of staying in that fight would have become very interesting. South Africa, of course, also facing a smaller nation this weekend, and have picked a largely, well, we can't really call it a B team when you're talking about the Springboks because of the depth that they have, but a lot of changes from the Scotland result. They take on Romania in Bordeaux on Sunday at 3 o'clock. That team obviously already picked. But the talking point in the box setup at the moment remains the Malcolm Marks injury. The bombshell news yesterday that Malcolm Marks is ruled out of the Rugby World Cup with a torn ACL. And the conversation very much at the moment is still hovering around who should replace him in the squad. And it seems, reading between the lines, that it's down to one of Joseph Dweber, who would be a like for like replacement at hooker, and you know, Andre Pollard, who is named on the bench for tonight's Friday night's an English Cup game, I think it is
English He's Premiership.
I think it's an English Premiership game for Leicester Tigers, and he's on the bench against Sale. Obviously, his first game in a long time, and back to full fitness. Jacques Nienaber saying this morning that they'll be watching that closely, and that Andre Pollard is in the mix, and that they are considering him. It's an incredibly tough selection. You know, the hooker responsibilities, and you know, outside of lineout throwing, it includes scrummaging. You know, Dion Ferreira as a backup hooker, if they went for Andre Pollard instead of Joseph Dweber, is that sustainable as the tournament enters its business end? I mean, play selector for a second here, Herman. I mean, if this decision was yours and it was down to Joseph Dweber or Andre Pollard or anyone else that you'd like to bring in as Marks' replacement, which way are you leaning?
Look, I mean, I think it's clear that they want to pick Pollard. I mean, if they wanted to pick Dweber, then they would have picked him by now. Just a simple like-for-like replacement, because he was the hooker named on the list of potential substitutes that could come in. But obviously, they want to see how Andre Pollard goes tonight against the Sale Sharks. It's going to be his first game in quite a while after recovering from injury. So, and then obviously there's a big talking point has been the goal kicking issue, the supposed lack of depth that we may have at fly half. I would be inclined to pick Pollard and bring him in, not necessarily to replace Marnie Lubbock as a starting fly half, but that would give us great depth, great options on the bench, you know. But it will obviously depend on whether Pollard can get through tonight's match. He's only on the bench for Leicester tonight, so. But you would expect him maybe to get 20, maybe 30 minutes of action in, and that would probably be give the box selectors maybe a bit more assurance whether. Or a bit more confidence to see if they can actually pick him or not. If not, then they would go the Dweba route. But then again, I mean, a guy like Dweba would, I mean, if I was him, I wouldn't be feeling that confident at the moment in the faith that the selectors have in me, because, I mean, if they really wanted to pick him, though, he would have been straight in. He would have already been called up. But yeah, Pollard dilemma is obviously there. And look, I think if Pollock proves his fitness tonight, he's going to be in. They're going to pick him. Because otherwise, that would have not been a talking point by now. Dweba would already have been with the squad. So, yeah.
How much of a concern? I mean, for me, the obvious thing is the scrummaging. I mean, more than the line-out throwing and, you know, play from the loose. And I mean, hooker's a position that's, you know, I mean, Bongi's renowned for being a very good scrummager. And you need, especially with the scrum being as important as it is to South Africa's game. I mean, where does the confidence come from that a Dion Ferreira could step into that role and, you know, be a kind of, you know, test level scrummager in the front row?
Yeah, look, I don't think there's any doubt that Dion can fulfill all the roles, like throwing into the line out, being a poacher on the ground. He's a very mobile hooker, but a bit more on the small side. And maybe you could argue that when he started his career, he wasn't really ever any close to the Springbok team when he was playing hooker. And maybe there was that perception that he's not the strongest hooker out there. So it could be an issue when it comes to the scrummaging. But the Bok camp seems to be very confident in his abilities. And, I mean, he's got experience of playing hooker. I mean, he's played all over the world. I mean, he played for many years in France after he left the Stormers. And there he alternated between hooker and flank, obviously. In later years, he sort of merged into maybe only a flanker. But, I mean, his rugby grounding, if you can call it like that, was the foundation was laid in the front row. And he's always been used to playing in the front row. So yeah, I think he in a way maybe just adds a little bit extra, a bit of extra than maybe something that Dweba wouldn't be able to give. I mean, Dweba obviously he's been struggling a bit with his line out throwing. Every time he's played a test, it's been an issue. But Dweba's a very strong scrummager. But then again, he's not the type of player that Dion Ferreira is in the loose. So I think you obviously have to weigh those things up. But yeah, like I said, if the Bok coaches would have picked Bever by now if they could, if they wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, and I'm certainly not ever going to be anywhere near picking rugby squads, but it just seems a no-brainer. Get Joseph Dweba in that squad. Build some depth at hooker. You need another specialist hooker in that squad for me. We're going to go over to Kaniso Tshwaku, who's had a busy morning. He's been with the Springboks this morning, building up to Romania this weekend, and he's been spending some time with head coach Shark Nienaber. So Trucks is very much the man we need to talk to right now to find out exactly what is going on in that Bok camp and if there is any information coming out that suggests that Jacques and Rassi are leaning one way or another. Morning, Trucks.
Good morning. Good morning, Lloyd, and good morning, Herman.
Can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Loud and clear.
Good, good, good. We can hear you a lot better today as well, which is good news. Trucks, give us the scoop. What's going on there? What's the chat? I mean, it seems like from the outside looking in, given everything that we've heard, that the replacement, which hasn't come yet but might come in the next day or two after the Romania game, is probably going to be one of Joseph Dweba or Andre Pollard. Did Jacques give any clues this morning in terms of which way he is leaning?
No, he didn't. But I think what remains clear now is that he's more or less leaning towards having a versatile player replacing Malcolm Marks. I mean, when you look at the forwards, he made a particular mention of what a Marco van Staden and what a Dion Fleury offer from a versatility perspective. And even though they understand that they do require specialists, I think one of the things that he mentioned in the departure press conference last month was that in the absence of a specialist, in the injury of a specialist, they will need to pick a specialist, especially in the front row. But I think what has happened in this case, there seems to be a slight backtrack from that. I mean, going back to what you guys just said, I mean, when you pick a hooker, you also pick the throwing component, but critically for the Springboks, you also pick the scrumming perspective, and that is where as a specialist, Joseph is very good. He's a very good scrummager. He displayed this with Western Province and the Stormers, and I think that's where most probably will have an advantage over a Marco, over a Dion Fleury. Jock did say that he'll be watching the Sale and Tigers game for probably to see how Andre Pollard will fit in. And as Hellman rightly said, the goal kicking, as much as it may not be an issue now, it will be a determining factor in the playoff game. It will be a determining factor in the Ireland game. But the critical part was that Jock did say that they still have 48-hour period where they need to look at replacing a player, who they'll replace. And there's admin that still needs to take place. They'll be respecting this game. So most probably they'll arrive at a decision tomorrow and probably then announce it on a Monday. So they're still trying to gauge what the team's needs are. But I think as you guys rightly say, the team, from a layman's perspective, if a hook is injured, you replace him with a hooker. You don't replace a hooker with a fluff, especially in a tournament where you've seen the attritional nature of the warm-up games, of the World Cup in particular, where if you lose a player who offers a particular skill set that is beneficial to the team style of playing, you stick to that particular process.
Yeah, it sounds like, given everything you've heard this morning, Trucks, that it's almost leaning towards Andre Pollard, just by the way that Jacques's talking. What did he have to say about Pollard exactly this morning? I know you mentioned to us a bit earlier this morning that he said he would be watching closely when Pollard returns to the field tonight for that Premiership game against Sale.
I think he didn't expressly say what he's looking for from a Pollard perspective, because I think they know what they get from him. I think what they really want to see is how much time and how he'll look on the field. Because remember, one of the things that he did reiterate before they left was that Pollard was at 80%, 85%, 20%, 25% and was increasing his match load. But they weren't quite clear in terms of how his match load readiness to join the national team, and that's probably one of the reasons why they didn't pick him. I think now watching today's game will probably give him and the coaching staff a fair idea of where Pollard is and in terms of his match readiness, because where what Joseph has his match readiness and the fact that he's fully fit. And we also mentioned that Lucanio is also very close to full fitness, but Lucanio also last played on the 5th of August. So his match fitness may have taken a slight knock, even though he put in very good shifts for the Springboks, the Rugby Championship and in the championships and in the warm-up game. So I think more than anything else with the Pollard, there's an issue of just seeing where he is from match fitness perspective.
Yeah. I just want to talk a little bit about Bongi Mbonambi, Trucks. I understand he was in the press conference this morning as well. But geez, what a big weekend it is for him captaining his country. And I mean, beyond that, if you look ahead to the rest of the tournament, I mean, he now becomes absolutely crucial for everything the Springboks do. I mean, his fitness is now paramount for Rassie and Jacques. And you could argue that, since Malcolm's injury, Bongi becomes one of the MVPs of that entire box setup. I mean, this is shaping up to be a huge weekend and a huge tournament for him.
Indeed. One, he's captain. Number two, now, as you rightly say, as the most experienced and the most senior hooker in the team, he becomes very important. I think the first thing we need to pray for is that he gets through the game unscathed. And he mentioned that in rugby, you can't discount the fact that you won't get injured, especially in the high velocity, high impact position that he and Malcolm play. And he did actually just tap into his emotions, but he tends to be a generally slightly dry character at press conference. But he did tap into the emotion of losing a player like Malcolm Marks. I mean, Jacques did also hint that the team itself was also sad at losing not just Malcolm the rugby player, but Malcolm the human being. But look, he understands the responsibility, he understands what his position entails in the team now as a senior hooker and captain for tomorrow. And also in the team, because he would probably be a very big loss now for the team if he would join the walking wounded, because where will the box then turn for a spare hooker? Because they'll probably catapult Joseph into the fray. But after Joseph, where do they look? They'll most probably have to look at the Johan Hobler to join the team, because you need a specialist hooker. And I think that's the one thing that Jacques may say, that yes, they need versatility, but in the front row, you need to also look at the core job. What does a number one, what is the solution for playing? Can he scrum? Yes. Then you look after everything else later. Can the hooker throw and scrum? Yes. Then you look after everything else later. Can the tight end prop scrum? Yes. Then you look at everything else later. So the versatility thing, while it has its pros, it does have a very unsettling gambit in the World Cup.
Very good. Thank you, Trucks. Thanks for joining us. That's Kaniso Trucku on the ground in France for News 24 Sport, building up to this weekend's Rugby World Cup clash against Romania in Bordeaux. Trucks, I hope you don't have a France repeat from last night, and that the box score used some beautiful tries on their way to a comfortable win. Herman, I want to go back to you, and you know, interesting hearing Trucks' views there, and agree with a lot of them. And I just wonder how all of the Pollard talk, you know, would mentally impact Amani Lubok now, who's obviously had a very good game against Scotland. Yes, the goal kicking's been, you know, inconsistent at best in a national jersey over the last three or four games. But I mean, you can't argue with the way that he's playing. I mean, Sia, you know, came out after the Scotland game and was quite vocal in his defense of Marnie's game management and the fact that he's been a general in that team, you know, and the attack that he's kind of leading in that back line, and said, you know, well, the goal kicking, yeah, sure, he's not going to get it right every day. But, you know, if you look at everything else this guy is doing right now, you know, he's certainly, you know, contributing an awful lot to this Rugby World Cup charge. I mean, Pollard comes back in, let's say, for argument's sake, and you mentioned, you know, you see a place for him on the bench. Is there an option of him playing 12? I mean, geez, it's all a lot of speculation. But, I mean, surely whatever happens, you don't move Marnie Lubok out of the number 10 jersey now.
No, look, I mean, I think there's a bit of a misperception amongst some of the pundits or fans, if you can call it like that, the fact that because Marnie kicked poorly at goal, a lot of people think that the media have been very critical of his overall game, and that's not been the case. I mean, he was man of the match against Scotland last weekend. He played brilliantly against the All Blacks at Twickenham, and in that game, he actually kicked all these goals. But he's very inconsistent kicking goal. If you remember the match against Argentina and the match against Wales, the warm-up matches, he wasn't kicking well at goal. So I don't think there's any doubt over his playing ability, and his game management has been superb. You know, we obviously saw the cross-kick try that he set up for Curdly Orange at the score. And yes, yeah, I was right in just reminding everyone about how good his performance was. But obviously the goal kicking is an issue, and if it's going to be a knockout game, if we're gonna play a New Zealand in the quarterfinals, which is at the moment, it probably, if we win our pool, if we beat Ireland, we win our pool, we're gonna play the All Blacks in the quarterfinals, likely. Then you need a goal kicker. Then it's going to be very important. You're going to have to, there's going to be certain moments where 3 points are going to be up for grabs, and you're going to have to take it. You can't score tries every single time, and not in a pressure cooker environment like that of a knockout game. And then that, my view was that a guy like Pollard, obviously the box, that the options on the backline bench is very limited, because they want to seemingly now pick six forwards if they don't pick seven forwards, but it looks like they go with the 60 split every time now. But a guy like Pollard can play inside centre as well, which gives you that extra dimension. That means you can bring him in on the bench because he's not just covering one position.
So I
don't think Marnie should be too worried about Pollard coming into the squad, because I don't think it would be fair to drop Marnie now for Pollard. You know, Pollard is tonight playing his first game in a while, and he's only going to play a couple of minutes, or maybe if he's lucky, a half an hour. And but I think a guy like Pollard would be a great option to have on the bench, specifically because he can obviously come on and kick goal if we have some issues there. And he can obviously play at inside centre as well. So you don't necessarily even have to take Marnie off. You could take Damien Allende or Andre Estrada and whoever plays at 12. You can take them off, and then have Lubbock and Pollard alongside each other, and you've still got Lubbock's game management skills, and you know he's been brilliant. You know, to put it mildly, he's really done well. If you take the goal kicking out of the equation,
yeah. Let's just close Hammer by looking ahead to the weekend and what awaits us in terms of fixtures. There is one game tonight, New Zealand against Namibia. Tomorrow we have Samoa up against Chile, Samoa's first outing of the tournament, Wales against Portugal, Ireland Tonga, and then on Sunday the Springboks Open proceedings against Romania at 3 o'clock in Bordeaux. The game of the weekend, probably from a contest point of view, is Australia against Fiji, who obviously came so close to dramatically beating Wales in the opening weekend, and then the weekend closes with England, who will be expected to knock over Japan. So a lot of fixtures. It's really that round of fixtures where you have a lot of heavy hitting nations, you know, powerhouse nations up against the smaller nations. So you would expect some big numbers in some of those games. But is there anything there that catches your eye outside of the Springboks?
Yeah, look, obviously, like you said, the Wallabies are playing Fiji. I think a lot of people would think that given the way how the Wallabies have struggled this year, I mean, last weekend when they beat Georgia 35-15, yeah, it's obviously not the biggest score, and it was their first win of the season, first win under Eddie Jones as new coach. So and Fiji, I think you could argue, were unlucky at the end there not to beat Wales. Fiji obviously beat England at Twickenham, so you would think Fiji would believe that they have a chance to actually win that game. I don't think it will happen. I think the Wallabies would have done their preparation, and I think the fact that they've seen Fiji in action now, you know, they've seen them play England at Twickenham, they've seen them play against Wales last weekend. I think Eddie would have done his research quite well there, and I think the Wallabies are going to come through there. But it's going to be a big game. You know, there's a lot of Fijian born players, or a few Fijian born players, in the Australian team as well. So the Fijians will be psyched up big time for that match, and they'll believe that they can physically overpower the Wallabies. So it could be a close game, but I think the Wallabies will win it by 8 to 10 points. And I think we also shouldn't, obviously England, Japan to close out the weekend. I don't think Japan is as strong as they were 4 years ago when they played at home. So and England would have confidence after winning against Argentina last weekend. So I think England will comfortably win that game, relatively comfortably. But I think another game we shouldn't just diss away is the Ireland Tonga match on Saturday night. There's some decent names in that Tonga team. I see they've got Charles Piatau at fullback, scrum off Augustine Pulu. You know, those guys have super rugby experience. Tamai Funa, the prop, he's the captain also. He's a monster player. I mean, they could give the Irish, wouldn't say that they can beat Ireland, but they can give them a run for their money. You know, the Irish traditionally, obviously, we all know the Irish team at the moment is a very strong team. It's probably the best Ireland team that they've ever had. But traditionally, the Irish have and a lot of the Northern Hemisphere home nations, maybe apart from England, have always struggled against the South Sea Island teams. You know, we've seen Samoa have twice in the past beaten Wales at World Cups. Fiji obviously have beaten Wales. The Irish have also struggled at times against these Pacific Island teams. So the Tongans will believe that they can match Ireland up front and physically. And it could actually be quite an entertaining match to watch. We shouldn't just discount that match and think Ireland are going to run away with it. I don't think it's going to be that plain sailing for them.
A lot to look forward to indeed as the Rugby World Cup enters its second weekend. South Africa, of course, taking on Romania in Bordeaux at 3 o'clock. Just a big thank you to all our listeners and readers for engaging with our content, whether it be on News24 Sport or via this podcast. It's another very, very busy weekend. We'll be bringing you all of the action throughout the weekend through our Rugby World coverage and Kaniso on the ground. And we'll be back on the Inside Pass on Monday to look back at the weekend and how the Boks go against Romania. All the best. Cheers. Enjoy the weekend.